Hello everybody, welcome. My name's Jamie Cater. I am the pastor of Argyle Community Church and this is our service live streamed. This is the first time we've done this, so expect a few teething problems, but we've been practicing, so hopefully you're receiving me loud and clear. Just want to welcome you all if you're regulars at Argyle, but also if you've just joined this live stream, if you've heard about it on the internet and you don't regularly come to the church, it's great to have you as well. And I hope that this service benefits you and blesses you. And our hearts really go out to you, especially if you're in the elderly or vulnerable categories. Maybe you felt isolated beforehand and the prospect of further long-term isolation is just too much. Our hearts go out to you, our thoughts are with you, and we're praying for you as well. Now, we're not going to have any songs or music in the service this time because of copyright and licensing issues. We're going to work on that and possibly maybe next week see if there's anything we can do. We did discuss me singing some hymns, but I might break my microphone if I do that and then you couldn't hear me. It just struck me that this is a strange situation, isn't it? Meeting like this. These are strange times, but they've happened before. Just want to show you this picture. Hopefully you can see it. That I saw in the paper yesterday. This is a picture of Christians in the 17th century meeting, having their church service during a time of plague in, I think, the Derbyshire village. I think it was at Eam. I'm not sure whether that's any good, and you can see that there. But it's just to assure you that Christians have been through similar things before, and God has been with them, and God is with us. And that's a good thing to keep in mind, isn't it? I just want to let you know also that as well as having this live stream service today, we plan on having a prayer meeting. And I have some details here. Again, I'm going to hold them up. I hope you can see them. We're going to have our prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. Ideally, by computer via Skype. But if you don't have a internet access, you can log in by phone if you're sitting with somebody and using their internet access. I hope you can see these details. The thing to do is send Sandy, thank you Sandy for doing this, an email to argyle.prayer@gmail.com and he'll send you a link which you can click on at 6 o'clock or ring Sandy. He'll set it up for you so you can just phone in. I'm not sure whether that worked, but I thought it was worth a try anyway. Next time we hope to develop the capacity to pop up slides and things so that you can see the information on screen. But now we're just trying to keep it simple to avoid any technological glitches. You've probably heard that today churches together in England, presidents, including Archbishop Justin Welby, have called today to be a national day of prayer for the global pandemic of coronavirus. And they've called for church members to get behind it by lighting candles at 7 o'clock this evening. So when we join together online for prayer, we're going to obviously be praying about coronavirus. And then the prayer meeting will last half an hour, 45 minutes. And I encourage you to light a candle at 7 o'clock and tune in as well to Premier Christian Radio, where you can hear prayers live by the Archbishop and lots of other Christians as well. This is what they wrote. This Sunday, 22nd of March, we're calling all churches to a national day of prayer and action. At such a time as this, when so many are fearful and there is great uncertainty, we are reminded of our dependence on our loving Heavenly Father and the future that He holds. That's so true, isn't it? So if you can, spend some time in prayer today on this National Day of Prayer that's been called and join us at 6 o'clock. Now, I'd like you to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 46. If you've just joined, welcome. It's good to have you. I see some people are still joining. And please turn with me to Psalm 46. And this is the psalm that we'll start off with. This is God's word. God's word is essential at all times, but so essential for difficult times, times like this where we're very uncertain. Psalm 46, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's be still for a couple of moments. And as the psalm says, and know that I am God. That's what God says. And know that he will be exalted among the nations and in the earth. And know that the Lord Almighty is with us. That the God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's be still for a couple of moments and then I'll pray. Our Father, we come to you at this time, this difficult time, this uncertain time, this time of plague and virus and death. And you're our certainty, and you're our rock, and you are with us, and we're so thankful for that. We confess our utter dependence on you. We confess our need for you. We confess our anxieties and our worries and our fears. We reach out for you. Thank you that you don't fear anything. Thank you that you are with us. You are the Lord Almighty, and you are our fortress. Father, we pray for those who are feeling anxious. Please still their hearts. Help them know that you are God. We pray for those who are unwell with the coronavirus. Lord, we pray for healing and restoration and recovery for them. We pray especially for those who've lost loved ones to the virus. Comfort them, Lord, we pray. Be with them and be close to them. We pray for ourselves, meeting like this online in these strange times. Even though we're meeting digitally, Lord, thank you that digital meeting is no problem to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please come and be here. Amongst us, may we know and feel you, may we experience our unity together through you, knitting our hearts together. Thank you for your love, for your steadfastness, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the resources that we need when all other resources dry up or fail. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, just a quick update on what we've done in response to the coronavirus. We've set up an Argyle Community Church WhatsApp, which has been a really good way to stay in contact, to encourage one another, to send each other messages of hope, to keep each other's spirits up. So if you're not part of that and you'd like to be, just get in touch and I can add you to the group. Frances, thank you very much. She's been coordinating help for the most vulnerable and also just linking us all up one-to-one. So you may well have heard from her so that we can check in with each other, give each other a call, make sure that each other are okay. And we're planning on producing some flyers that we can put through letterboxes in the local community, the houses surrounding the church, offering help, offering prayer, offering support, and hopefully we'll get on that this week. Life groups are important at the best of times, but so important now, especially in these times of isolation. We're working on how to meet together as life groups, possibly using Zoom or some such service. Please do, if you're not a regular life group participator, think about joining one. Get in contact with me if you'd like to join one, so that midweek, again, we can meet together, pray together, discuss God's word together, draw strength from him and from each other. Next week, we plan to have digital communion, communion online. So make sure you have some bread ready and some wine or grape juice. I or someone else will be conducting the communion service and you can participate at home. And we can break bread and have the cup together and remember the Lord until he come. Well, it's Mother's Day. And normally we'd do something in our service, give something out like some daffodils to mums, but we can't do that today. But if you're watching this and your mum is there, could you give her a big hug? Could you do that now? If you're watching this live stream with your mum, give her a big hug. We praise God for mothers. And we're going to pray now. A prayer for mothers. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for our own mums. We thank you for giving each mum unique gifts and talents and abilities. Thank you for the huge sacrifice of self that each mother gives to her children. Please, Father, give mothers the strength they need, especially in these days, these times. Please help them in their role of parenting, of looking after their children. Help them and strengthen them in their huge, varied number of roles. Help them in their roles of being domestic engineers, taxi drivers, hairstylists, toy repair specialists, playdate coordinators, law enforcers, and so much more. Thank you for all they do. Please protect them from anyone who might undermine their significance. We pray especially for single mums. We pray for mums who never had the honour of bearing children, for tired mums, for step mums, for new mums, for mums to be. Please give them everything they need. And we pray for those hurting on Mother's Day, for mums who are struggling or who are unwell, and also for those who miss their mums, who've lost their mothers. You are powerful and loving, God. Please powerfully comfort people who are sad on Mother's Day and bring your love and healing into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these are difficult times, aren't they? They're times of worry and anxiety. I'm sure that some of us have lost some sleep and have been struggling. I want to remind you that 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So I'd like you to do something with me right now. A practical exercise to help us cast our anxieties on God. I'd like you to get your hand and clench your fist and clench it hard and imagine that this fist represents your worries. Think about those things that are making you scared. Clench it hard, tense your body up. Breathe in and I want you to breathe out and relax your body and relax your fist and let those worries go and give them to God. Cast them on God. Okay? Let's do that again. Clench your fist. Visualize your worries. They're in your fist. Clench it as hard as you can. And now relax. And let your worries go to God. Cast your cares on Him. He'll deal with them. He'll look after you. I find that really helpful personally. I hope you did just now. And it's something you can do when you feel worried. Well, before our sermon, we're going to read again from God's Word. So if you have a Bible, please pick it up. Turn to the Bible on your phone and turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. That's John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Let's read God's Word. This is Jesus speaking. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's really the verse we're focusing on. But let's continue to verse 8. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's God's word. When I joined Argyle, I never imagined doing a Sunday service like this. But then I'm sure none of us imagined so much disruption, fear, illness and death in such a short space of time. In just 1 week, life has completely changed. Streets and shopping centres deserted, schools closed, exams cancelled, sporting events postponed, cinemas silent, pubs, bars, clubs, gyms, leisure centres shut down. The economy imploding with a potential collapse worse than the Great Depression. Interest rates lower than they ever have been before. A decade of clampdown on public spending U-turned into a spend of £330 billion. Even the language we use has changed. Lockdown, social distancing, self-isolation, WFH, working from home. The way we meet has changed too. Suddenly we're learning new systems like live streaming, Skype, Zoom, Houseparty, Periscope. The fabric of society on which we depend or depended for civilized normal life has suddenly torn. And so our scheduled sermon subject is very timely, consciously dependent. I think that COVID-19 has humbled us and caused us to realize how dependent we are on so many things and how much we depend on God at this time. We're going to do two things in this sermon. We're going to consider consciously dependent as the third of our values that we're currently going through in our sermon series. And we're going to look at how at Argyle we are consciously dependent on the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And secondly, we're going to consider consciously dependent in the light of coronavirus and how in this crisis we can depend on God. So our third value, consciously dependent, we rely on the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Let me just see whether you can remember the values Just give you a second. If you're with some people listening to this, can you remember the values? Give you a second to rack your brains. What's the first value? Oh, 5. Totally Jesus. The second one? Extravagantly loving. We've considered them already in sermons today. Consciously dependent. The fourth one? Anyone remember? Unceasingly prayerful. And then the fifth one, culturally relevant. Now, consciously dependent follows on from extravagantly loving, because the only way we can love extravagantly is by being dependent on the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We depend on the Bible to show us what extravagantly loving means. In the Bible, we find commands, imperatives, stories, examples, parables, and so on about extravagant love. And we depend entirely on the Holy Spirit to love that way, to love extravagantly, as we thought about in last week's service. How in the world can we manage to love our neighbours and our enemies and give everything to serve others? Only with the Spirit's power and energy. Only with Him transforming our hearts and our minds. As well as being dependent on the Bible and the Spirit to love extravagantly, we depend on the Bible and the Spirit at all times and in all ways in our Christian lives. The Bible is where we must go to hear God and learn from Him and find out what's true. Otherwise, we'll pretty much end up making our own religion. We have to base what we believe on the Bible. Christianity is from the Bible, it's derived from the Bible. We depend on the Bible to live and practice as Christians. And the Spirit is where we get our power from, to live the Christian life from start to finish. Otherwise we'll burn out, or we'll end up being like the Pharisees, living and working in our own strength. Think about it, we start off our Christian lives totally reliant, don't we? We totally, utterly rely on Jesus for salvation, because we've sinned. We can't unsin. We've sinned. We've blown it. And so we say to Jesus, I've sinned. I need you for forgiveness. I need you to get to heaven. I can't get to heaven under my own steam. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm barred. My sin bars me. I depend on you, Jesus. That's how we start our Christian lives. That's what trust in Jesus means. But we continue our Christian lives in reliance, as Jesus makes clear in John 15:5 that we just read. Without me, he says, you can do nothing. He means you can't live the way I want you to. You can't bear fruit like the way I ask you to. You can't love extravagantly. You can't love God and love your neighbor and so on without help, without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit's power. So we start off dependent, and we continue our Christian lives in an attitude of being consciously dependent. However, the default human condition is independence, believing that we don't need God. That's what religion and atheism is, actually. Religion is depending on one's own works to be accepted by God. Atheism is the conviction that we're all fine with no God, as Richard Dawkins' new book, Outgrowing God, demonstrates. Every human being has this big streak of independence, this firm belief that I don't need God. You've probably heard that one of the most popular songs nowadays chosen for funerals is My Way by Frank Sinatra. I've lived a life that's full. I travelled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. It's like the poem Invictus by William Ernest Henley. The last verse says, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. It's a poem which celebrates human independence and strength and fortitude, and they're not bad characteristics to celebrate, except the reality is that humans are actually very weak, and we're dependent on so much. We're dependent on each other and so much more. As coronavirus has showed, a few tiny cells and the whole world almost is laid low. We feel fine and strong and independent when everything's going well, but remove just a little bit, just a few things from our lives, and we're totally vulnerable. As Christians, it's easy to slip into this mindset of dependence. I did it recently. I realized I'd done it when I analyzed my sermon preparation. And I realized it was about 5% prayer and 95% study. That low percentage of prayer revealed that without realizing it, I'd become independent, or I was veering towards independence away from God, because prayer, of course, is vocalizing our dependence on God. I thought that it was my hard work. That was the most important thing when preaching a sermon. My study, me, my abilities, what I'd learned at Bible college, and so on. I'd forgotten that for a sermon to change a heart, the Spirit is needed. And therefore, I must cry out to God in prayer for the Spirit and live my life in such a way that I don't block the Spirit, quench him, or anything like that. I'd forgotten Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, which says, not by well-designed sermon lines, nor by PowerPoint, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Remember that verse? Not by might, nor by power. But for me, it's not by your own might or PowerPoint. I'd slipped into that. But by my Spirit. And you know, slipping into a mindset of independence leads to two things. First of all, it leads to pride. I don't need God to live the Christian life. I rely on me, my abilities, my experience, my wisdom, my gifts. I'll be okay. But then that almost inevitably leads to exhaustion. If we're living in this way, we'll probably experience stress, worry, burden, burnout, tension, anxiety, and so on. Because we're not giving it all to God. We're bearing it on our own shoulders. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says this, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. In our pride, we often drink from broken cisterns which we have dug ourselves, and we forsake God's living water on offer for free, and so we get spiritually ill, overburdened, and prideful. And that's why often God intervenes in our lives to pull us up short and stop us falling into this mindset of independence. James Muldoon, one of the pastors at Kerry, used to call such interventions God's violent mercies. God's violent mercies. Such is our tendency to live independently of God whilst calling ourselves Christians, that God often humbles us by allowing us to get ill or lose our jobs or suffer or mess up or struggle or whatever it is, something difficult, because he wants us to move away from independence to dependence on him. C.S. Lewis says that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to wake up a sleeping world. And that's true. We're often asleep to the resources God offers us, the living water. We're awake only to our own resources. We're frantically digging away our own cisterns and trying to get this dirty water from a broken cistern. And God sometimes has to intervene to break us away from that mindset. So our value, our third value of being consciously dependent, means consciously and deliberately living in relationship with God as sheep and not the shepherd, as a child and not the parent, as a student and not the teacher, as disciples and not the master, It means admitting, as one of my mentors says, that I'm clueless about what's best, so I'm trusting Jesus knows best and will sovereignly deliver what's best for me and for my church, for our God, for the world. Consciously dependent means having a mindset of dependence. It means remembering that Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing, and owning that. We need Jesus like the earth needs the sun, like our lungs need air, like a baby needs its mother, like the branch needs the vine, as we read earlier from John 15. And you know what? Living like this, consciously dependent, is actually a joy. It's freedom from burden and worry and exhaustion and pride. Living like that is being like a child who is carefree because it depends on its parents and totally trusts its parents to supply its every need. Jesus said in Luke 18:16, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Because Jesus wanted us, as members of God's kingdom, to experience that childlike freedom in Christ. So when things go wrong, we don't panic. Rather, we say, "My God will meet all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus," Philippians 4:19. Which leads me on to the second thing that we'll consider: being consciously dependent during this time of coronavirus. We've seen how people are reacting, haven't we? With panic. We've seen on the news, or we've seen with our own eyes, the empty shelves at supermarkets. We've seen how this affects the elderly, the vulnerable, the key workers like nurses and doctors coming off their shifts, starving, hungry, and finding empty shelves. But as Christians, we don't have to react like this, because we can rely completely on God. Others panic, but we depend. Others worry, but we trust. Others retreat, but we advance with extravagant love. Others fear, but we live by faith that God will provide and help us through this. Others feel uncertainty, but we focus on God, our certainty, in the midst of this turmoil. The world is gripped by fear, but we are in God's grip. Culture says hide and hoard, but Jesus says, "Do not fear, little flock." We stand firm because of the theology of messiology. Do you remember that from where George Boer was with us a few weeks back? Messiology. God is at work in the mess. That's the same theology that Joseph trusted in when he said to his brothers, who had caused such an almighty harmful mess, he said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives," Genesis 50:20. We trust that God's got this. He's at work in this mess, in these awful times. Others see only gloom, but with eyes of faith, we see opportunities. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." What I'd like you to do now is to get a piece of paper and a pen, okay? So just grab a piece of paper and a pencil. Just give you a moment to do that, okay? Got that? Got a piece of paper, or just do it on your phone or whatever, something to jot down something. And I want you to write at the top of your piece of paper or on your notebook, to write down, "Making the most of the opportunity of coronavirus." Okay? Making the most of the opportunity of coronavirus. Now that might sound a bit weird, but Ephesians 5:15-16 says we should make the most of every opportunity. So that includes these times of coronavirus. And I want you to take a couple of minutes now to list the opportunities you see in these times that you could make the most of. Okay? Do that for a couple of moments now. I'll do it too. Okay? So at the top of your piece of paper, making the most of the opportunity of coronavirus, let's list down opportunities. What opportunities do these times present? Got some stuff down? Just one more minute. Finish off your jottings. Right, I hope you managed to jot some stuff down like I did. Here's what I wrote. Here's what I've been thinking about. How can we do what it says in Ephesians? How can we make the most of this opportunity? Well, there's an opportunity to pray, isn't there? We've already talked about the National Day of Prayer, which is today. Lighting a candle in solidarity and togetherness at 7 o'clock. Coming to the 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Praying individually. Praying for those on the front lines. Praying for those in authority, our government. Praying for the sick and the vulnerable. An opportunity to pray. I wrote down care, an opportunity to care for your neighbours, for one another at Argyle, for people in need. It's time to care, isn't it? A lot of people need care in these days. I wrote down redirect. It's an opportunity to redirect social energy from anxiety and panic to love and looking after each other. I think that's what we can do. We can contribute that as we come into contact with people and chat to them. Of course, it's an opportunity for love. An opportunity to show Jesus' love to the most vulnerable, as he did, to be his hands and feet on earth right now. And then I wrote down, share. It's an opportunity to share how God is our rock and our steadfast hope in the midst of fear and change. Journalist Jonathan Friedland writes this, COVID-19 is reminding us that we are not masters of nature, but vulnerable to a tiny microscopic virus, that even the mighty civilization we have built on these islands hangs by a thread. He's right. Perhaps coronavirus presents us with an opportunity to remind people of how vulnerable we are. How vulnerable to death we all are, but that we know someone who's not, someone who overcame death, someone who vanquished death and rose and promised us that if we trust in him, he can cast out the fear of death, because death is not the end, but the beginning of life, eternal life in heaven, where no viruses will get there, where there'll be no more pain and suffering at all. What an opportunity to tell people about our death-defying Saviour, to point out to them that the things we ordinarily trust in can't help us, but God can. God can. The things we look to for life and normality, they can just get swept aside in an instant, as has happened, but God is there. Our fortress, as we read at the beginning in Psalm 46. Because we depend on God, because he is our strength and our certainty, because Jesus overcame death, we are freed to see new opportunities in the midst of panic and fear and isolation. Praise God for the hope that he gives us even in these difficult times. Let's just have a short time of silent prayer for a few moments now. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for who you are. You're solid. You're immovable. You're there. You're not having an emergency COBRA meeting right now, panicking. You know. You've seen this. You've permitted this. It's all part of your plan, even though we can't fully get our heads around that. It is. Thank you that you urge us to make the most of even this opportunity. Thank you that we can show people your love. Thank you that when it gets darker, your light gets brighter. Thank you for this time together. It's been strange, but thank you that we can meet still, that this technology allows us to do so. Please bless us now. Please bless us for the rest of the day until we meet, hopefully at 6. Please especially bless those who are suffering because of coronavirus right now. Please be near to them and help them. We pray against it. We pray for an end to it. We pray you'd help us through it. In Jesus Christ's amazing name. Amen. Well, it's been good to share with you all. God bless you. Our service is over, but I invite you to stay on for a few minutes. You know how when we normally meet together at church, we say our service is over, but stay for tea and coffee. You can still grab a cup of tea or coffee, but why don't we stay and chat over WhatsApp? Okay, I'm going to open my WhatsApp now. I'm talking about the ACC WhatsApp group. Okay, why not share your questions and comments and I'll interact with you? Why not share what you wrote down, what you jotted down on that piece of paper under the heading of making the most of the opportunity? Why not communicate with one another? I'll stay online for around 15, 20 minutes. I'll do my best to interact with you. I am just opening WhatsApp right now. It'd be really good to hear from you. If you've just joined and you're not part of our Argyle WhatsApp, email me a question or a comment. jamie@argylecommunitychurch.uk. I'll open my email now and I'll check jamie@argylecommunitychurch.org.uk and I'll keep an eye on that if you've got any questions or comments. Also, if you've got any suggestions to improve this live stream, like I said, this is the first time we've done this. We're very much getting used to it, but any improvements, message me, ring me later on in the week. So do interact now, but if you're leaving, I just want to say to you, church, stay safe, stay sensible, stay connected, and stay consciously dependent on the Bible and on the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. Right, something pinged, so let's see if anyone commented. Aha, people are typing, fantastic. Great, that's good. You're welcome, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Yes, that's right, Paul. These are thought-provoking times, aren't they? They really are, yeah. And yes, people have been suggesting, we haven't been able to sing together because of copyright and so on. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, click on these links that Chris has just sent. Go on YouTube and find those worship songs. And just, you know, this today is the Lord's Day. Take some time out to be quiet, to read his word, to listen to the worship music, to still your hearts, to connect with him on this day of rest. Yes, absolutely. Mark, thank you. Big shout out. Thank you so much for the tech team. I was very nervous about this whole live streaming thing. Didn't know how it's going to pan out. Thank you, Graham. Loads of effort from Graham, borrowing his camera and so on. and Paul Quirk as well, and Chris and Judy and Claire just doing the practices, and Mark and Cheryl. And Cheryl's just said, yes, if any of Cheryl's work colleagues have joined us, hi, welcome. It's good to see you. I hope you've enjoyed and been blessed by what you've heard. I'm interested, guys, to see what you wrote down when I said to you, make the most of every opportunity, according to Ephesians 5. Did you write anything down? Share it. Share it on ACC. Good. Thank you, Julie and Richard. It's good to have you. Really good online. Great that you're able to log in and listen. God's blessing to you. Right. And yes, I should say, if there's anyone who's joined who doesn't normally come to Argyle, hello, you're welcome. And it's I hope you enjoyed what you heard. And I hope that you were blessed. And I hope that you were helped. Definitely. And I hope that you, I hope that this all came through loud and clear. I think it did from what you guys are saying, which is a great relief, a really great relief. Hello to Pamela's brother. Hello. Apparently from, is that Belfast? Belfast, yeah. All the way from Belfast. Hello, if Dodson's, if you're online, from Cape Town. Isn't that cool that people can listen to us across the seas, across the world? Yes, absolutely. Nice to hear from you, Nicholas. Especially Nicholas, as your exams would have been cancelled, wouldn't they? And all that uncertainty that throws up. Our hearts really do go out to GCSE and A-level students at this time. And let's all be in prayer for people. Potentially huge job losses. The government is promising this money, but let's be, it's a worrying time, isn't it? As everything shifts, everything changes. Like I said, the fabric of society rips suddenly. But is that God ripping it? Is he ripping a hole in our reality and saying, look up, look to me? Cheryl's sister, Australia. Wow. If you've joined us, you're very welcome. That's a long way. That's a long way. Anyone else? Any relatives and people who might not normally be here? If you've checked in, welcome. That's great. Someone's right. What did Julia and Richard wrote? Opportunity to spend and enjoy time talking with loved ones. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I guess we will have more time. Let's get to know each other. Decorating and home improvement. Yes. We should all have really tidy houses and clean houses, shouldn't we, at the moment? And well decorated houses. Definitely. Yep. yes. Thanks, Chris. It's an opportunity to refocus people's minds on God, who is our rock. That is such a strong word, isn't it? Such a word for now, rock. Fortress, those strong words in the Bible. Why not spend some time today looking at the strong words that describe God? Because we need his strength now, don't we? Because we're so weak. We're so weak. Thank you for your kind comments, Roger. And just really conscious of the wonderful fact that the Holy Spirit can be present through digital means. Yeah, it doesn't bother him. He's a spirit. That is so fantastic, isn't it? That we can meet like this, separate, sort of, but connected, sort of. But we're connected by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us, and he's helping us. That's a huge blessing. Yes. Just want to say again, while I'm waiting for some comments to come in, I'm going to hold this. I don't know whether this works, but it might, so I'll try it. I'm going to hold that up. Don't forget, just angling it right there. Don't forget the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. Ideally, if you can, join by the internet, by Skype, because if you ring in by landline, we have to pay. That's absolutely fine, by the way, but if we have like 20 people joining by landline, that's going to be a bit expensive. We've used this Skype system, again, thank you to Sandy, we've used this Skype system because it enables people who don't have access to the internet to join the prayer meeting, or it should do. Again, technology, teething problems, bear with us. But hopefully you can see that. I don't know whether the camera's picking it up. They are the instructions. Yes, Janet, peering over this notice. Yeah, more contact with neighbours. Absolutely, Janet. We've had that as well. We've had more contact with our neighbours. We've had good phone calls with our next door neighbours. And we're getting to know them better. Yeah. Good point, Jonathan. I love that. God created the electrons that make all this possible. God created the electricity and radio waves and all the whatever Wi-Fi waves are involved in Wi-Fi. Absolutely. Yeah, he's sovereign over the digital world as well. Definitely. Okay, yes, Andrea, thank you. What you noted down was God encouraging you and reminding us all to seek his face, read his word, and lean into him. Yeah, and we need that. We do need that. We need that for our mental health, don't we? And just some advice to you, watch the news, be informed, but don't watch too much news. Don't watch it all the time. Don't be news. Spend some time seeking God's face, or else you'll just be overwhelmed. Totally. And also, I just want to share with you something that I read, I thought was quite wise advice. I just read an article in the paper called A Tale for Our Times. Laughter is still the best medicine. Hey, Callum, great to hear from you. I'm glad you, yeah, listening, very naughty, Callum, listening with a bowl of cereal. Yeah, well, there are advantages to live streaming. No breath fresheners needed. No hearing aids needed for me. No aftershave. Don't have to bother with that. Yeah. I hope none of you are in your pajamas. Very naughty. No, I just wanted to share with you. Oh, yes, absolutely. Time with children. There's going to be a lot of time spent with children, isn't it? And, hey, yeah, well, there's challenges, but let's not dread that. Like Claire says, thanks, Claire, teaching the new skills and how God sustains us when life sends challenges. Just this little story then, laughter is still the best medicine. It's a story from the Great Plague of 1919. And the author said it killed her Aunt Lucy. And it was really hard, and there was death. But long story short, this mother had lost her husband in the Great War, and then the plague came, I think, after the Great War, Spanish flu, I think it was. And everything seemed awful. And so, she took her grandson to the pictures. This is in 1919, and they watched Charlie Chaplin. And I'll just read it. She told me that the child sat on her lap and they laughed so much he wet himself and her, which made them laugh all the more. And it's just a point that these are serious times. They are hard times. But as it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to mourn and a time to laugh. So don't just watch the news. Watch some comedy or do some things that make you laugh with one another, because we need that. We need to laugh out the tension. Laughter is a God-given thing that can help. David, thank you for what you shared. Hi, David. Rogers, this is. This time reminds us of the wonderful love of Christ. Absolutely. How nothing can separate us from this, even when the circumstances are challenging. That's right. Not even coronavirus can separate us from God's love. So true. Thank you, Julia. Yeah, I hope it will. That we'll become better human beings. And yes, absolutely, that we'll appreciate what we have and we won't take everything for granted, because a lot of things that we do take for granted have been taken away from us, haven't they? So thank you for that comment, Julia. Yes. It's testing times. But God uses testing times, doesn't he? I know that many of us can recall how we've gone through a testing time. But God has taught us, shaped us, refined us. I remember when Claire was ill, I think it was Janet. I think it was Janet Riley who said to me something like, Oh, let me think. So, Janet, can you type this up? What did you say to me, Janet Riley, if you're still listening? Something about the rock, that when the Christ is our rock, when the bottom falls out of our world. Something like that. It was really helpful. Thank you, Roger, for the encouraging comments. Oh, and I got a message from Flora. Hey, Flora. Ah, Flora, it's great to have you. Flora, let me know if you want me to put you into the ACC WhatsApp. And hi, hello, Flora, to everyone. Let me know, and I'll put you in right now if you want, Flora. And hello to Neo as well. If Neo, are you watching? Hello, Neo. Lovely to see you. Call out to Janet Riley. It's escaped me. It's something like when we can't go any lower, we get to God, who's the rock, something like that. And that's what these times can do, can't they? And okay, right. Thank you, Flora. So you wrote down making the most of the opportunity, an opportunity to spend more time with Nathan. Yep. Thoroughly clean the entire house. Yep. But also an opportunity to spend more time reading Bible verses and asking questions where I don't understand. Absolutely. Really, really thank you for that, Flora. Time to study. Life is so busy, isn't it? Let's not be scared of a little lull. Maybe it's a time where we can reconnect with God and discover him a bit more and discover his word. Flora, give me a thumbs up on WhatsApp if you want me to add you in. And I will do. Right, near me. Let's just click on this link. Before that, yes. I think you can. Mark, thank you for that. This is all new to me, but I think what YouTube does is automatically stores this live stream on our YouTube channel. So I'll leave it there. So you can listen again and do share it. Yeah, do share with your friends. Let me click on what Naomi shared. There we are. Thank you, Naomi. Sometimes God lets you hit rock bottom so that you will discover that he is the rock at the bottom. Tony Evans. That's it. That's the quote I was after. And what's that, Anthony? Share. Oh, the same thing. Thank you, Anthony. And thank you to Janet, if you're still watching this, for sharing that with me when Claire was ill. You put it so well. It's so timely as well. Definitely. Absolutely. Right. Well, I think just a couple more minutes and then I'm going to end the live stream. Yes, Graham confirms that we should be able to watch it again. There were lots of videos on there that were practices and we deleted them. So at present, when I end this on our YouTube channel, there should be a little welcome video from me and then this live stream stored as a YouTube video, which we can rewatch. Some of you have been asking about putting the audio from this live stream onto the Argyle Community Church website. Not sure about that. Tech team are working on that. We'll let you know if that's possible. That would be ideal, but really not sure. Now, I didn't do any slides, so they won't be on the internet, but I did do some life group questions, so they will be. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, if this live stream, it may take a few minutes to appear after I've ended the live stream, appear on the Argyle YouTube channel, I mean. So bear with it, but it should be there. Paul is typing something that should be helpful technologically. But yeah, praise God for how it's worked out. Yeah, I woke up early this morning thinking, oh dear, I hope it works. Imagine if I'm talking into a camera and no one can hear. But you did, praise God. And that's really good. And that's really thankful. I'm just going to click through to my notes to see if I've forgotten anything. I think with regard to the calls to prayer, I think there've been two calls to prayer, Justin Welby and the other presidents of churches together in England called one, and that's the light a candle at 7 p.m. thing. But there's been also one called at midday. But basically, let's be in prayer very much today, and let's light a candle if we can at 7 o'clock. Paul says that he will do the audio upload. Thank you. Not sure about the chat. Could do. Why not? If people don't want it, they don't have to listen to it, I suppose. Don't see why not. But I'll let you guys make the call on that. But once again, thank you to our marvellous tech team for making this possible, especially Graham. Big shout out to Graham, the camera and everything. Late nights trying to make this work. Teething problems, confusion over verifying our YouTube account and so on, but it came together and we're really, really pleased. Okay, well, once again, thank you everyone. Thank you so much. Before I go, I'm just going to check my emails to check that any questions. Aha, there's a question. Chris, Katie, Tabitha, thank you. It's great to have you. I'm glad you were able to watch. Hello to you all. I hope you're still there. Where are we? Ruth, John, Thea and Lucinda, daughter of Ned and Claudia. Hi, Ruth, from Essex. I'm glad you're able to listen. Thank you for checking in. Fantastic. And I'm glad you were blessed. Yes, that's really good. It's fantastic that people were able to tune in. And hello to anyone who I haven't said hello to. And I think I'm going to go home now. So I just want to reiterate what I said. Actually, I'm going to reiterate what I said, then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to end the stream. Stay safe, stay sensible, stay connected, and stay consciously dependent on the Bible and on the Holy Spirit. Let's pray before I end the stream. Okay. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you that it worked out okay. Thank you that you're with us. We've experienced so many emotions this last week. Fear, even terror, bewilderment, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to protect ourselves, sense of being so vulnerable. Almost this thing is like an unstoppable force, so we turn to you. We turn to you in our need. We give you our fears like we did earlier. We release them to you. We cast our cares on you. We thank you that we can do that because you can cope. You can deal with all this. You're with us through it. There have been so many catastrophes that humans have been through and Christians have testified that you are with them. Thank you. Thank you that thank you for messiology. You work even through the mess. You change even bad things to your glory. You redeem even the worst situations. Thank you most of all for your son. Thank you that he's why we're here, sharing like this. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. See you soon.